Once again, welcome to all of you, and I have to admit this is a day I always look forward to be immersed in the joy of so many people from the diocese and so many wonderful speakers from around the country. So it's a great day for us to be together and to celebrate the body of Christ, the city in which we live, the diocese that we have. I want to just begin by thanking all those who have helped to organize this day, especially those on our staff and the many staff members of the diocese and volunteers who spent the last 2 days here setting up things and preparing. I also want to thank those speakers, at least those who are here now, and in the absence of those who are not here, we can pass on the word, but thank you not only for what you bring to us, but also for the witness that you give to the world by your own life and commitment to Christ and the church. We come today as individuals who are baptized into Jesus Christ, a celebration that we will celebrate as a church throughout the world tomorrow, the baptism of the Lord. In his baptism, he has brought us all, incorporated us all into himself, which is also into the church. And so we come as baptized Catholic Christians and others who may be with us today, but also as ministers in the church. Today, in a special way, I think we are asked to come as ministers in our particular call to ministry, but in a certain sense, to put that aside. Because the focus today is going to be on family and mercy. And as we all know, as I say in my letter of welcome to you in the brochure, the family is in great difficulty as a society, but also in many of our own families. There are difficulties and there are hurts. That being said, the Holy Father, I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has called for an extraordinary year of mercy. Now, it's extraordinary because it's out of sync with the normal 25-year intervals for holy years. But I think we could also use that word extraordinary theme of mercy. I hope that you in these few weeks and months leading up to the beginning of the year of mercy have had time at least to absorb the word mercy and to hear it already in the first part of our liturgy, repeated many, many times. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us. It is, sisters and brothers, in my own reflection, at the very heart of who we are. Because it is at the very heart of who God is. God is love. God is mercy. None of us will be able to finish and exhaust our understanding of mercy in this life. We will only truly understand it when we meet mercy, God, face to face. I'd like to begin, not to begin, I'm already halfway into the homily, but I would like to go to the beginning of the Pope's bull of indiction, in other words, what he gave us to begin this year. And the first paragraph, I think, frames for us this year and the true depth of mercy. Because mercy also has another name, and that is Jesus Christ. The Holy Father writes at the beginning of his letter on this beginning of this extraordinary jubilee, he said, Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. These words might well sum up the mystery of the Christian faith. You know, when we want to learn our faith and we go to our parishes and we go to classes and we go online, we go to the St. Paul School of Catechesis and to other workshops, in a way we're using our reason, trying to dissect all the things that we hear and we read and we pray about in the Gospels. We try to come to an understanding. And all that is wonderful. And we should do that. We must do that. To go to the catechism and to ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of knowledge, to be able to enter into more deeply the mystery of God. But in a special way, I think these words of the Holy Father bring us to another dimension of our understanding of faith. These words, "Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy," can sum up the mystery of Christian faith. Sums up the mystery of Christian faith. Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. Mercy has become living and visible, incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, reaching its culmination in him. And so, sisters and brothers, as we live this day, as we live this year, I would think it would be important for all of us to repeat to ourselves, Jesus Christ is mercy. There are many prayers from the East and the West. The one I'm familiar with from the East, "Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner," called the Jesus Prayer, which some have repeated over and over and over all day long. Jesus Christ is mercy. And that is the great discovery of the Christian faith. And it is the great source of living as Jesus would live. We oftentimes hear the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD. Perhaps you have a bracelet, WWJD. Perhaps you have a bumper sticker. I would remove it because people normally paying attention to your bumper sticker rear end you from the back. What would Jesus do? But if you listen to that phrase, what would Jesus do in this moment? What would he do in this moment? But I think there's a bigger question. There's a bigger context for this year of mercy. And that is, what does Jesus want of you and me? You see, I can do what Jesus would do now, and then I could forget about it and move on to something else. But this is not who we are. This does not identify us. Those are part-time Christians in many ways, if that's all we look at. What does Jesus want of his body? What does he want of his brothers and sisters? And that's a perduring, ongoing, committed way of life. What does he want? He wants us to show mercy as he has shown mercy, as he is the face of the Father's mercy. That's what he wants from each one of us. And so part of this year is to recapture the notion that we are on a pilgrimage of life. None of us is perfect. We heard in the letter of St. John today, there are sins that are not deadly. We all make mistakes. We all sin in the fact that we maybe have been cross or ugly with someone. But we're on this pilgrimage to refine, to discover who we really are. And the experience of pilgrimage to discover Jesus can find no better locus, no better place to be lived out than in the family. And this is the tragedy of our society and of our life, with the disintegration of the family. Because when the family disintegrates, love disintegrates. When the family disintegrates, mercy diminishes. And we're thrown out into the fields with people who maybe don't know what love and mercy are all about. And so it is our effort, is our prayer, it is our desire as church to rebuild from our own experience the family. Though this may seem as a negative event for many, it was an event that took place 2 days ago that for me helped me to refocus what it means to be family. Some of you may have heard that here in Corpus Christi on Thursday morning, a man was found dead on the street near one of our churches, Sacred Heart. He was described on the radio as a vagrant, as homeless. Listen to the words. Homeless, vagrant, without family, we could say. We found out later that he was a regular visitor at Mother Teresa's shelter that we are also proud and grateful of in our city that helps the homeless. During the day and even up until today, yesterday, he was still nameless. But in speaking to Sister Rose Paul, I learned he did have a name. His name is Chris. She told me he often came every day to Mother Teresa for breakfast and lunch, spent time there all day. He was a strong presence, helpful, quiet, kind, and very studious. A vagrant, homeless, or Chris? At the prayer service that afternoon, the residents got up and they spoke of him and how important he was to them, and that they had hoped, some of them had said, that he would be able to overcome his situation of being without a home and make something of his life. Do you see the nameless, homeless person entering into a community of people with a name, with hopes and aspirations? There in that community, he was not a vagrant. He was not homeless. He was Chris. Why does that help us reflect on the family? Because in the family, sisters and brothers, we have a name. We are not nameless. In our communities, we have a name. In the family, we have identity. In the family, we have value and are affirmed. In the family, we discover our potential of who we are and what God wants us to be. In the family, we have dignity. In the family, we are loved. In the family, we find mercy. In the family, in the community, we experience and practice Jesus Christ, the face of God's mercy. Pope Francis, in the continuation of his letter, brings forth to us two characteristics of mercy, and ones I think that we would be good to hear and to move forward with during this year of mercy. One is that mercy is consistent and persistent. It's not part-time. It's not a one-time deal. Mercy is persistent. It continues on. Mercy, the Holy Father says, never gives up, as the Father never gives up, until he has forgiven the wrong and overcome the rejection with his compassion and mercy. God never gives up on you and me, his sons and daughters. And the Holy Father pointed to three parables. Again, Jesus is the face of God's mercy. And so Jesus told us three parables that the Holy Father points to. The first is the lost sheep. The shepherd left the 99 to go after the one, and he wasn't satisfied until he found it. put it on his shoulders, and took him home. That's mercy. Not 30 minutes, an hour, can't find him, too bad, he's just one of 99 or one of 100, I'll move on with the 99. No. He continued until he found him. The parable of the lost coin, the woman who lost a coin in her house, and she swept the whole house until she found it and redeemed that coin. And finally, the father with the two sons, the prodigal son that we know the parable so well, who agonized over the disappearance of his son, but rejoiced immensely when he returned. That's mercy. That's mercy. Never gives up until redemption happens. And the second one the Holy Father speaks of, that again, a parable or a saying of Jesus that we all know, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven? 70 times, seven times, always. You can see, my sisters and brothers, Christianity is not an activity that we attach on to a busy life. It is at the core of who we are. And mercy, which is the highest expression of love, is at the core of who we are. It's not a tack on, an attachment, a nice little gesture, an act of kindness here and there. It's who we are. And that's the pilgrimage of life that you and I are on. And that is the role of the family, to begin teaching, practicing a laboratory where mercy is continuous, where love is found. And so in your reflections today upon the family, upon preparing for marriage, on the sacrament of marriage, with the youth in so many ways, let us refocus our attention to the beauty of the family, the workshop of God, the family into which Jesus himself was born, the family into which mercy was born, to be the heart of the family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and to relearn, to reopen our hearts to these parables, to these messages and words of Jesus, to the truth of Jesus, to not just intellectually learn what he said, but to let that take that long, long pilgrimage journey into our hearts, to be Jesus for others, to be mercy, to never give up. As Saint Monica prayed all those years for her wayward son Augustine, she never gave up. And how many examples of saints and saints from your own families, your grandparents, your parents, you can point to people in the community who never gave up on you or someone else. There is a starting point, and I conclude with this, for all of us on this journey of faith to rediscover the gift of mercy. And that is the closing sentence of the gospel that we have today. He must increase and I must decrease. Humility. We are given at confirmation, at baptism, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the last one is always fear of the Lord. But for the true Christian, fear of the Lord is the first gift that we must have in order to arrive at wisdom. The first on the list. It's biblical. The last will be first, the first will be last. To ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of fear of the Lord is to ask for the gift to put God first in our lives. I am not God. My thoughts are not supreme. My will is not the best. My ideas are not the last. God's are. And so the question, what would Jesus do, is short term. What does Jesus want, is what frames our life. He wants us to put God first in our life. to decrease our ego in order to increase the life of grace in us. God is everything. His mercy is rich. And Jesus Christ, as St. John says in the first reading today, whatever we ask for, it is ours, if he is first in our life.